We must not engage in sexual immorality. Some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Does that sound like God likes sex? Who made sex? God did. So he must like it. But he made a set of rules that it must stay within the confines. That's a wedding present God gives to a man and a woman. Because of their sexual immorality, God killed how many of them in one day? You think he wasn't too happy with that bunch? I think he wasn't too happy with them at all. He knows exactly who is his and who's obeying him. And you can be one in the midst of the 23,000, and 23,000 can fall around you, and you'll be the only one left standing. Because he knows your heart. If you're walking holy and obedient to his word, he says there ain't nothing can touch you. 9 and 10. Nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. They tested him. You don't test God. I mean, just like whenever the devil come up and said, took Jesus and put him up on top of the pinnacle on the temple and says, jump off and he will send his angel to pick you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. What was Jesus' answer? You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So you don't jump, you don't get up on the temple to see, well, I'm going to get up on here and jump off and see if I can break my leg. I'm just going to test God and see if he's able to keep me from getting hurt. No, you don't do that, do you, Kim? No. But some of them did. And those that tested him, he didn't like it, so he sent snakes out from under the rocks. And the snake could reach up there and bite them, and they would die. Who sent those snakes? God did. I mean, who's running the show? God. When are we going to get that in our heart? Who's in control? Now, see, here's the beautiful part. If God's running the show and you're in obedience to his word and you're doing everything he says, you don't have to be afraid of nothing. I mean, you don't have to be afraid of nothing. He will protect you. I mean, he'll take all sickness away from you. Everything will be great in your house. And he promises that. But you've got to do your part. All of his promises are based around your obedience to him. And people just don't, they don't know this Jesus. They just don't know these scriptures like this. Some people have never read it. And like that next one says, I'm going to ask you this question. How many of you, now I'm not going to ask you to hold up your hand. But how many of you in the last week know you have grumbled and complained? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Just today. Huh? Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Whack. Yeah, now that's what you ought to be doing. Because if he don't like grumbling, when he Philippians 2:14, he says, do all things without murmuring and grumbling.
Amen.
Do how many things?
All things.
So what does he mean?
Don't grumble.
Well, okay, well, see there, it's a good thing he's merciful to you, right?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
See, I mean, but just look what he says there. And don't grumble as some of them did, for that is why God sent his angel of death to destroy them. I mean, it's just people that never read the Bible or what? I mean, what do we not believe about this awesome book? People said, well, oh, God did all those devastating things to people in the Old Testament, but he's a loving, sweet God in the New Testament. He never does anything. Last time I checked, where we're reading happened to be in the New Testament, huh? Is it in the New Testament? Don't grumble as some of them did, for that is why God sent his angel of death to destroy them. As far as I'm concerned, that's pretty clear right there in English. I don't need it in anything else. If God says he sends angels of death to destroy us if we grumble and complain, I know that he's more merciful than if the first time you grumble, he's not going to send a death angel, because if he had, he'd have killed you today. So, and of course, every once in a while, we all have a little time, you know, when we get off sideways, you know, and we get into the grumbling, complaining mode. I do it once in a while. Cheryl does it once in a while. You know, we're humans. But we know God don't like it. So if you stay in that grumbling mode very long, now I don't know how long, but if you stay in the grumbling mode very long and all of a sudden you find yourself sick and afflicted and on the side of the bed and, oh, I can't stand up. Oh, God, what's going on? He says the death angel is coming to get you because of your grumbling and complaining. I mean, is everything I'm teaching written in the book? I mean, this is not some wild story I come up with, is it, Richard? It's in your Bible, right? Okay, just as long as we know. You know, there's some people think, hey, Thurman's plumb out there on a tangent. I've been to church all my life and I ain't never heard nothing like this. Maybe it's time we heard it. Y'all agree? I mean, God is telling us what not to do. Is that what He's doing? Does He happen to be in charge? If He tells you what not to do, if He don't like grumbling and complaining, then I suggest what we do this week. How much grumbling and complaining should we have? None. That's right. None. Zero. I mean, we ought to be able to sharpen each other up. If somebody comes up and I start grumbling and complaining, my wife ought to come up and say, honey, listen to what you're saying. And then when I turn around and say, well, woman, get out of my face. She ought to turn right back around and say, but don't grumble and complain. You know, because it's so easy when somebody gets mad or whatever. Then when they come at you, then you get mad at them. Now we got two sins going on. So don't both of us get mad at the same time. One of us stay in control. Y'all see where I'm coming from? Now I know y'all are human beings just like me, so I know y'all don't ever do anything like this. God told us as a body of Christ to pray for our men and women in office. Did He not?
Amen.
You know, some of you know last year I took a week off and went to Washington, D.C., and I walked in the congressman and senator's office. When I'd walk in, they'd say, what can we do for you? I said, I come here to repent to God for not praying for you and this office. And they had never heard that in their life.
Wow.
I said, so I'm going to pray that God will give this office and the men and the senators or the congressmen that's in this office, because every one of them's got their own office with their own staff. I said, I'm going to pray that God will give y'all wisdom and knowledge how to rule our country, because it's obvious y'all don't have it right now. I mean, one time there was an email sent out about, there's 435 men. That's our Congress. That's how many it is, 425 or whatever it is. And they said, this many has been involved in drugs. This many has been... Have y'all seen that email?
Yeah.
And it said, who do you think this group of people is? Who would have ever dreamed it was the Congress of the United States of America? What have we obviously not done? God said if we prayed for them regularly, we would be able to live in peace. So, obviously, I knew when I came under conviction that I had not done that enough. And I still don't do that enough. And I'll bet you don't do that enough. If we don't pray for them at least once a week, I guarantee you hadn't prayed for them enough. We ought to pray for them every day. Because they need it. Don't y'all agree? With what's going on up there in Washington, we need it. And don't grumble as some of them did, for that is why God sent His angel of death to destroy them. Do anybody see anything in this that you might need to change? I think there's probably several things in here. Let's see what the next verse says. All these events happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the time when the age is drawing to a close. That's us right now today. If you think you're standing strong, be careful, for you too may fall into the same sin. So don't you walk out here today and say, well, I've got it under control. I ain't never going to sin. Every time I hear a story like that, I think about this pastor. I mean, this guy was a great anointed man of God, and he got to a place, and I done a teaching after this happened to him. I done a teaching, Surviving the Anointing. I've realized that's why God don't give the anointing to young men. It's tough enough to survive the anointing when you're old, much less when you're young. You know, when I will hear somebody tell me, you know, that, look at this man. He has prayed for thousands that have been healed. He's prayed for hundreds that have got out of wheelchairs and walked off. He's prayed for women of breast cancer. Hundreds of them have been miraculously healed. If you're not careful, all of a sudden you begin to say, wow, look at me, I'm somebody. But you got to remember who did that. And it wasn't you. It was the Lord. As an older man, you can say, you can humble yourself and say, all I got to do was pray the prayer for those people. The King, my God, He healed them. All I did was pray. All I did was tell them their sin from His Word. And then when they repented, I prayed, and He healed them. I didn't have nothing to do with it except just, my part's easy. Lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. Boy, wasn't my part hard? See, so you think that would heal anybody? No, but my obedience to do what he said would make let him do it, right? Amen. And so that's just like the woman that slapped you in the face that day. Bam, let's get on with it. Bam. Yeah. But anyway, this pastor, he had got to that point where he thought he was somebody. And somebody said, you know, you really are an attractive man. You know that? Said, you really better watch the women. He said, I can overcome any woman. You know, said, there's not a woman alive that can get me to sin. A little bit of pride in that. You hear that? One day he's preaching in his church and in walks a knockout. I mean, this woman is gorgeous. He was preaching and he stopped. She was so beautiful. I mean, you know, every once in a while you'll see one, you know, the average woman, you know, just an average woman. But you know, every once in a while you see one of those kind that's just out there. You know, she don't even know how beautiful she is. And that's what she was. And he was preaching and he stopped and watched her walk. And then all of a sudden he caught himself and he started preaching again. Well, the longer she came to church there, the more attracted to her he became. And she knew exactly what she was doing. And one day, he says, you know, would you like to go to dinner with me tonight? He was a single guy. She said, of course, I would love it. So she went to dinner with him. They went out a few times. He contained himself, although she was beautiful as she could be, and she rubbed all over him in the places she shouldn't, but she knew what she was doing. She was trying to entice him. Finally, she got him to go to an apartment. And he's in that apartment. He's thinking, now, I'm not going to sin against God. So she's just pulled herself up to him, and I mean, she is just doing everything she can to entice him, and all of a sudden, he says, I can't stand it. And he just grabs her, and he rips her top off, and then rips her skirt off, and he's fixing to go to bed with this woman.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, With the Blood of Jesus, Nothing is Impossible, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and post-paid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.